Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Chime. Courtney, if you see that fly again, let me know.
Okay.
I will do my best to get it the second time.
Great movie,
around.
The Fly, with Jeff Gold?
Goldblum.
Oh, yes.
Not a fan.
You weren't a fan of that movie?
No.
That was such a good movie.
Greg, what did you say again of how you catch the fly?
You put your hands behind it, and then you try to clap it with two hands together. Yeah. Yes.
DM said that's how she gets you.
DM's not happy with you.
Me?
Yeah.
What did I do?
I just got a random text from her saying didn't appreciate Curtis's comment this morning.
Oof. Mm.
Bedtime story comment.
Oof.
Oh, and she didn't like mine about the heels as well.
Oof. So you're both in the doghouse.
Oh, boy.
Doghouse. Good thing bullets in the bed.
Bros over, you know, Greg. You and I.
Big, I'm in trouble. This is Smurf from Maine. Hello, Smurf.
Good morning. How you doing?
What's up?
Hey, so real quick before I get to my question, I just want to say thank you to you guys because it's been a really tough year for me in my personal life, and you guys make me smile, laugh every day, which is what I try to do for people every day.
Oh.
So I just want to say thank you for that. Oh. And also, one song, one meal, and one song, one meal, and one movie for the rest of your life, what would they be?
God. One song, one meal.
Mine is Shawshank Redemption, chicken, broccoli, Alfredo from Reno's in East Boston, and Iris of the Goo Goo Dolls.
Oh, Smurf. You bleed just to know you're alive, my man.
Banger.
I love Reno's, by the way.
Yeah, Reno's is a great place.
Underappreciated Italian restaurant in our city. Maybe the best.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not in the North End. No disrespect to Massimo. And to Aria.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and Reno's been there forever. Mario's is really good in East Boston. So if you ever
Reno's, Reno's has the eggplant, the pesto eggplant dish, which I would argue you can get it as an appetizer or you can get it as an entree.
Can we do a show out in there? I've never been to Reno's.
Really?
Yes. We could do a separate dinner. I owe Shime the dinner at Moo because he lost 50 pounds. So he and I can do that. I was going to include everybody in that, but why don't we do, let's do Reno's together next week or the week after.
I would love it.
Yeah.
We'll get Reno.
I'll hit up Tony.
We can hit up Reno and get a reservation because it's hard to get a reservation.
Yeah, I'll hit up Tony.
It's only like 10 tables there.
But my wife swears by, I don't eat seafood, but she says the lobster ravioli is the...
Well, they're making it all right there in the back, which is hard to beat.
Oh, yeah.
So it's... Awesome restaurant. All right, let's get to this.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They
want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll grill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
Time for a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. Where do you want to start this morning, Shime?
Well, Greg, my guy, Kyle Shanahan, was on a podcast for The Athletic, and he talked about Bill Belichick this offseason and how he actually offered him a job with the San Francisco 49ers. Here is what Kyle said about that.
I did. I threw it out to him. He loves football so much that you never know what he would – I can't believe that he's not a head coach of a team right now. I know what I would do if I was an owner, so that shocks me. And the last thing you want to do is insult someone like Bill Belichick. But I know he just loves ball in the simplest form. So I threw it all out to him, like whatever he'd want to do.
DC?
Yeah. I was like, would you be interested? And he was very nice and appreciative, but he politely turned me down. But I think he's helping out his son a little bit. I know he's involved in Washington. It could be good too, because I'm sure he's going to be back in the league next year. And I don't know how, and I could be going against him. He could be in the NFC West. So it would have sucked if he came here and then he was going against us every week too. So that's stuff you got to be careful about. But I mean, he's the best. And I mean, I just like talking to him.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Yeah. Did he turn it down because he expects to be a head coach next season, or because he loves retirement, or his form of retirement, which is working in
New York? A little of both. He probably loves retirement, but how offended would you be if you're Bill Belichick and Kyle Shanahan is saying, do you want to be my defensive coordinator? Yeah. Absolutely not.
Kyle even says no. He went to him. He's like, hey, whatever you want to do, we'd just love to have you as part of the organization.
But Bill's not going to be anything but a head coach.
But he could have come and been like a consultant, Courtney, is basically what, like he could have... Kyle Shanahan was literally just offering Bill whatever he wanted to do with the 49ers outside of being head coach so that he could just be in the building. Right.
The Shanahan family is tight with Bill. Mike Shanahan was one of the lone vocal voices during Spygate publicly saying how absurd it was at a point where Bill needed him. I think Kyle should have hired him as his head coach, won a Super Bowl, and then figured out the rest. But this is the latest and greatest sign that Bill's people are telling everybody how badly he wants to come back.
All right. And the fact that Shanahan was
Bill's people are vocally saying how badly he wants to come back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you have Kyle Shanahan saying he cannot believe,
right,
from an owner perspective, that somebody doesn't have him as their head coach right now.
Right.
Right.
He goes, I know what I would do as an owner. And I think a lot more owners are going to be saying that after this season. Especially, I'll bet dollars to donuts in Atlanta when they win three games that Arthur Blank is going down there and MFing everybody in the front office who was like, see, you should have let me hire this guy rather than bring back Raheem Morris.
Also, just getting word that Kamala Harris called Joe Biden and offered him the job of Postmaster General. Yesterday. I don't know if he will accept it or not, but the post office could use some help. Really. I mean, things are slow over there.
By the way, just an aside, I need to stop watching all and reading things about the assassination attempt, because it's like I can't unthink about
it. Down. They got you.
I am like rabbit hole central.
Are you going down the conspiracy wormholes?
They released a video yesterday with this guy from the Secret Service talking. Do you see the one where like on the roof of the building? It's like everything just feels so out of sorts. It doesn't make any sense. Why is this guy asking these people who's been arrested on the ground? They've been on the roof of the building. Why would they have any understanding of anything other than what's in front of them, which is the deceased assassin?
It's a little strange.
Very odd. Anyway.
All right. What's next, Sean?
Well, Greg, as Patriots training camp opens up, it only makes sense that we hear somebody raving about Drake May, since Jerod Mayo won't name him QB1. So let's go to our dear friend of the show, Devin McCourty. He joined Rich Eisen. This is what he had to say about Drake May and kind of what he gleaned from the clip on Hard Knocks of Drake May.
What did you glean from that Hard Knocks with Drake May? What did you take away from that?
I get excited because I think that's the hardest part of playing quarterback. I think nowadays you see so many quarterbacks that have this unbelievable talent, whether it's being able to run, whether it's having this great arm talent. But like, what does that actually mean? It doesn't mean anything until you can go into a huddle or sit in front of a board or get on the field and deliver in 2 minute situations or on third down over and over again. And the part of that is understanding what the defense is giving you and then knowing what you can get into and what you have to get out of as a quarterback. I always remember Brady always talking about that. His true gift was being dual threat, and it wasn't being dual threat as a runner, but it was being dual threat of not putting the offense in bad plays. I think when you watch Drake May do that as a young guy coming into the league and being able to do that and process things pretty fast, you get excited. You see that and you're like, all right, that's what I want my quarterback to have. I think that's what the NFL is truly about.
He's so good.
Yeah, he is.
He's so good.
Yeah.
Breaking everything down.
Yeah, I don't like the – I heard Foyer talking about this yesterday. I agree with him. Like, the whole blackboard thing, like – all right, whatever. Like, you know, so you can regurgitate a play in, you know, those type of things.
Okay, but I mean, that's important.
And Foyer's right, not in today's game, because you have a giant...
Not if you're Cam Newton.
Well,
you have a giant wristband.
Wiggy loved a quarterback who couldn't identify the mic.
Oh, he could identify the mic. Depending on the offense, the mic changed, but I'm not going to go too deep into the weeds and give people, like, this headache of, you know, like, oh, the X and O's, but you got this giant wristband on your wrist, and the offense coordinator is going, hey, run play two. You look down and you go, okay, play two, and you call it in the huddle. The bigger thing for me is, can he make those pre-snap adjustments when things are moving around? Mm-hmm. It's easy. If I go up on that whiteboard right there and I draw this up, it's easy. But now when you got 5-6 guys in front of you,
yeah,
coming at you, and pre-snap, they're rolling and doing all types of stuff, and then the ball snapped. Can you make that adjustment then?
Well, and is that not maybe a reason why Jerod Mayo has Jacoby Brissett as his number one heading into training camp today? Because he's already experienced that.
Can I just make this clear? That would be the biggest offense to Jacoby Brissett if before they even play a training camp practice, he says that Drake May is ahead of him.
So he can't do that.
No.
So it's nonsense and gibberish from Jerod Mayo.
It's not nonsense and gibberish. It's the only thing you can say because factually, Jacoby Brissett is more pro-ready. He's played a professional game.
Right.
Drake May is in his first training camp. He has to prepare and have something to work towards.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's just talent-based, May is far ahead of Jacoby Brissett.
And the thing that you learn, and see... I get what...
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Mayo saying, but I also know from being in there, the best way to learn is being on the field, live reps. It's so much different. The more live reps you get, the more the game slows down for you, and the more you're able to understand what's going on. You're able to see it. You're able to make better decisions. Every time you get in there, your first time in, it's going a million miles a minute. It's crazy. That's why I'm like, play the kid.
All right, what's next, Shime?
Well, Greg, let's pivot over to the Red Sox here for a moment because the trade deadline is slowly approaching, and we've had a discussion about this yesterday with Wiggy about the Red Sox possibly adding at the deadline. Will they, won't they? Well, one player has said outright that he wants the Red Sox to add before the deadline. That would be Tyler O'Neill. He joined Rob Bradford on the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. Bradfo, your podcast is skyrocketing. I suggest investing in better microphones. Oh. But this is what Tyler O'Neill said to Bradfo. Oh,
you're gonna get an email from Ken.
I really hope you buy it. Yeah, you do. Yeah, for me, is that the vibe you got in here?
Yeah, of course. We want to
go out. We want to compete for a postseason spot. I want to see what Boston is like in the postseason. I want to see what that looks like, you know. And you know, I've seen it on TV, but I want to feel what it looks like. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think we have a really good shot at that. And you know, I think if they want to add some pieces, they'll add some pieces. And if they don't deem that to be the path, then it's out of my hands.
So I think he said he wants to see what it feels like to be a playoff team right. here in Boston, because he's seen it on TV, but he hasn't been a part of it. I love that.
Yeah.
And he said add some pieces, you know, and hopefully they do. Add some pieces.
Which they everybody now is at the point now with that's the expectation.
Well, they won last night, so right. That helps.
Yeah, I think that's what we all expect, and we all think it'll be something. Then the question is, are we happy with the added? You're right, Sean. That was like a bug at like a John Gotti club.
Well, I mean, Bradfell has this very successful podcast. His brand is everywhere. You know, everybody has a T-shirt, and yet he's recording
he's
on a potato.
Talent. He needs an engineer with him. It's not his job to
that's
do everything.
Right. That's Ken's fair. Fault.
Yeah. I mean, he can't be asking the riveting questions and adjusting the mic level. Right.
By the way, speaking of our fearless leader, off to California today.
Oh, Ken is.
Yeah.
Why? Wow. Vacation.
He's doing his ballpark trip.
Left coast.
This is second vacation I think he's taken in the last month.
Yep. You know, when the going gets hard, go on vacation.
Get you some In-N-Out burger while you're out there.
Yeah, well deserved.
We will hold the fort down.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He also weighed in on the new Open, Greg.
What did he say?
He said, really liked the Open, and then gave me a couple constructive critiques to kind of edit it down. Well, no. Just for editing purposes. He doesn't want to change it. Just wants to make it as best as it can be. So I respect that about Ken.
Right now, thank you, Ken. I can picture it. On JetBlue, Ken is having a Bloody Mary mix, no booze.
Boss, man.
You know, there's a scientific explanation for why you order a Bloody Mary on a plane. Have I ever mentioned that?
No, but the person next to Ken ordered a double.
What is it?
Huh?
What is it?
It has something to do with your body and the change in altitude, and it makes you crave tomato juice.
Oh. I don't know how people drink it. It's disgusting.
Gross.
I love tomato.
My wife had one. I was like,
I love tomato juice.
That's old man.
It's not old man
vibes.
It really is. She got a spicy one, too.
Well, I like a spicy Bloody Mary, but drinking just straight tomato juice is for old people.
Yeah, or serial killers.
It is.
You grew up during the Civil War.
And by the way, I prefer Campbell's. Campbell's makes the best tomato juice.
Goodbye, young demo.
My old man, the late Barry Hill, used to drink Clamato, which is the clam and tomato juice.
Oh,
disgusting.
What?
Actually, DMs told me yesterday she had to go buy a juicer.
Can you stop with
the
DM stuff? She's getting very angry. She doesn't like it.
Oh, she's never angry.
She doesn't like it.
Uh-oh.
I, for one, am stopping immediately.
Somebody's in trouble.
Doesn't appreciate
it. No, I met her for the first time yesterday. She's lovely.
Mm. Thank you, Sean. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Wish she said the same about you.
Oh,
that's fine.
She was the only one who had my back at that table.
Yes, she did have your back at the table. Yes, she did. When Wiggy was all over you your dog is out of control.
Trying to help Courtney out. Her dog is out of control. I'm trying to help her out. When you live in the
Courtney's dog yesterday was humping more people than P. Diddy.
Oh, no. He didn't hump one. I was very proud.
You're back.
I was very proud. Not a single red rocket and not a single hump.
No, your dog definitely.
Yes,
he just gave a hug. There was no hip thrust.
Was sexually assaulting people without their consent.
All right. We're going to get to the news next, including Florida, not like the rest of us, where prenup rage led to soon-to-be bride violence. That and the rest of the news next.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.